This is the Tao of Christ, and I am Marshall Davis. In this podcast, I explore the mystical roots of Christianity, which Jesus called the Kingdom of God, which I refer to as Christian non-duality, unitive awareness, or union with God. Others call it non-dual awareness, liberation, enlightenment, or spiritual awakening. It is the heart of all spiritual traditions. This is the Tao of Christ. Good afternoon. This is Marshall Davis. This episode today is a response to requests that I have received. Two listeners asked me how non-duality fits in with the Old Testament God. These people who contacted me were particularly concerned about the violence done by and in the name of the deity of the Hebrew Scriptures. At the same time, I've been reading the news and I'm concerned about what's happening in Gaza and in Israel. The devastation and the suffering and the hunger and the death going on in Gaza is heartbreaking. And I think these two are related. I look at what's happening in Gaza and I see the direct result of worshiping a violent God. The God of the violent passages of the Hebrew Scriptures and the violent passages of the Quran. And as a Christian, I can say the same thing about Christianity. Now, Jesus was not violent, but the God of later Christianity became violent. And this process began as early as the New Testament book of Revelation. Jesus did not ride into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday on a white horse with a sword in his hand. But once Jesus was packed off to heaven and the ascension, some Christians, like the author of Revelation, made Jesus into exactly that type of Messiah who rides down from heaven, where on a white horse with a sword in his hand, destroying his enemies. This is the God of militant Christianity, most clearly represented historically in the Crusades, and now again in Christian nationalism. There are Old Testament passages where the ancient Hebrews were ordered to commit genocide by exterminating the indigenous peoples of the land of Canaan. Joshua was ordered by this God to destroy every man, woman, and child in the promised land. Centuries later, this same deity ordered King Saul to completely destroy every man, woman, and child of the Amalekites, and Saul was punished by God when he didn't completely obey that command. The book of Exodus proudly says, "The Lord is a warrior. Yahweh is his name." This is the deity of Psalm 137 that says, "Blessed shall be he who takes your little ones and dashes them against the rock." In the opening words of his book, The God Delusion, Richard Dawkins says this: "The God of the Old Testament is arguably the most unpleasant character in all fiction. Jealous and proud of it, a petty, unjust, unforgiving, control freak, a vindictive, bloodthirsty, ethnic cleanser, a misogynistic, homophobic, racist, infanticidal, genocidal, filicidal, pestilential, megalomaniacal, sadomasochistic, capriciously malevolent bully." You know, you read some of the passages of the Old Testament, you think he's right. But I need to make clear now that this is not the God that is worshipped by the vast majority of Jews, Muslims, and Christians today. True Judaism is a religion of peace. True Islam is a religion of peace. True Christianity is a religion of peace. And there are many passages in all of our scriptures that advocate peace. But the God of violent religionists, whether Christian, Muslim, Jew, Hindu, or any other religion, is not a God of peace. That God is a nationalistic, ethnic deity who is a champion of one religion against other religions, who fights for one nation and one people against other nations and people. This is the God that I see at work in Gaza today, on both sides of this war. That is the God responsible for the massacre of 1,200 Israelis by Hamas and the capture of 200 hostages. It's also the God responsible for the slaughter of over 31,000 Gazans by the Israel Defense Forces. This God of war is not the true God. Hamas does not represent the God of Islam, and Likud does not represent the God of Israel. Christian nationalists do not represent the God of Jesus. This bloodthirsty war God does not represent true Judaism, Islam, or Christianity. Now, let me relate this, what I've been saying, to Christian non-duality. I'm reading a book. In fact, I just finished a book last night entitled The Anatomy of Courage by Peter Codron. It is a science fiction book set on a battlefield in Russia, and it gets very philosophical about war. One of its many memorable quotes is this: "War is an altar to an angry God, one that doesn't exist." The God of war worshiped by religious extremists does not exist. The violent God of the Old Testament is not real. And that's why I quoted Richard Dawkins a moment ago. If you've heard me tell my account of spiritual awakening, you will remember that the new atheists, like Dawkins, were an important part of the deconstruction of my evangelical Christian faith. They showed me that the God that I believed in was not real. Meister Eckhart prayed, "God, rid me of God." When the false god of theism is seen as an illusion, then what remains after that God is gone is true God. Ultimate reality is seen as having always been present all along. The theistic God is a creation of the human mind and heart. That deity is fiction. Theists have made God in their own image. The Ten Commandments tell us not to make images of God. And I interpret that to mean theological images as well as physical images. Theological images of God say more about the person who worships that type of God than it says about the divine. God is real, but the theistic deity is not real. The theistic deity is not God. True God is the God beyond God, is the God beyond all images that religions use to picture God. Paul Tillich called this the ground of being, or being itself. In the burning bush passage in the book of Exodus, God says, "I am. I am that I am." Hinduism calls us Brahman. The Tao Te Ching calls us the Tao. Call this whatever you want. Names are nothing more than words meant to point to that which cannot be named. Ideas about God are pointers to that which is beyond human comprehension. All scriptures are words, and at best, they point to what is beyond words. That is true of the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Quran, as well as the Upanishads, the Dhammapada, the Tao Te Ching, and every other scripture. When those words of scriptures are taken literally, then scripture distorts and obscures divine reality. But at their best, scriptures are windows beyond themselves to non-dual reality that is the nature of the universe. Awareness of this non-dual reality is the heart of all spiritual traditions. This reality is peace, it is love, it is compassion. I look at the war in Gaza from a non-dual perspective. Now, I'm aware of the dualistic perspective that my mind spins and wants to believe in. But when my mind does that, I choose to view this from a wider non-dual perspective. When thinking and talking about this violence, it's easy to want to take sides. It's easy to get wrapped up in the dualism of us versus them, good versus evil, right versus wrong. It's so easy to label one side as good and the other side as bad. Hamas as the evil terrorists who murdered 1,200 Israelis and captured 200 hostages. And Israel as the persecuted minority fighting for their survival as a nation and a people. On the other hand, we could picture Palestinians as the victims of decades of abuse and persecution by the nation of Israel, who are striking out the only way they can, and Israel responding by disproportionately killing 31,000 people in retaliation for the Hamas attack. The anatomy of war says war satisfies our desire for vengeance, regardless of the cost. I see that true in Gaza today. You know, in looking at this war, we choose one side, we turn the other side into monsters. But in so doing, we become what we hate. As Nietzsche famously said, beware that when fighting monsters, you do not yourself become a monster. It's easy to lose one's soul when caught up in the narratives of war, and therefore lose one's sight of one's true nature. In every war, there are at least two narratives, and it's tempting to choose one. How do we know what is true? The Anatomy of Courage again says, for all the casualties of war, there is one death that's never mourned, one that is seldom even recognized. There has never been a gravestone for truth, but it is always the first thing that dies out there on the battlefield. It is difficult, if not impossible, to see what is true in time of war. There's no way that I can see the world as a Palestinian or as an Israeli, because I'm not a Palestinian or an Israeli. And yet, in non-dual awareness, I am Palestinian and Israeli. I share my true nature with both of them. They are me, and I am them. Therefore, in this unitive awareness, I respond in compassion for both sides. I respond to the suffering on both sides. I respond in love for those on both sides. For example, that means that I, in practice, support Doctors Without Borders and contribute to them. God consciousness, non-dual awareness, is the only thing that will bring lasting peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus says, for they shall be called children of God. Spiritual people from all faith traditions must embody peace and speak peace. In Gaza, this has to be done, I think, chiefly by those who share the faith of those who are fighting here, the Jews and the Muslims. People are much more likely to take members of their own faith seriously than the rest of us. I'm thinking of Christians in particular, because I'm a Christian, can play a supporting role. The good news is that there are peacemakers in Islam and Judaism. More good news is that from a non-dual perspective, everything is working out as it should, as it always has and always will. How could it be otherwise? Because all is one. We need not despair or resort to questionable moral means to accomplish peace on earth. Peace is here now. It's simply a matter of abiding in peace and speaking from peace. Then the war god of Gaza will be seen as an illusion, and the kingdom of God will come to earth as it is in heaven. And that is it for today. Grace and peace to you. That is the Tao of Christ for today. Thank you for listening. You can access other episodes of this podcast at thetaoofchrist.com. You can also find these podcasts in video format at my YouTube channel at christiannonduality.net. My blog, Spiritual Reflections, can be found at marshalldavis.us. There you will also find a link to my books and my email address. Join me next time for another episode of The Tao of Christ.